Take your Bibles now into Psalms chapter 55, right in the middle of your Bibles. Psalms chapter 55. Choir, when we're praying, you can make your way up after scripture reading. Psalms chapter 55, we will be reading verses 1 through 6 this morning. I will read verse number 1, you'll read verse number 2. We'll read responsively all the way through verse number 6. Psalms chapter 55, I'll begin reading in verse number 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me, and hear my prayer. I mourn in my complaint, and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in my wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this place. Lord, there's so many burdens and so many heartaches out there. Lord, we thank you for a place that we get to come to, Lord, to fellowship with people, Lord, to be encouraged and to be strengthened. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we don't have to just hear what a man has to say, but we get to listen, Lord, to a truth that you have prepared for us this morning. Lord, help us to approach this truth just like that. Speak to our hearts. Open our minds, Lord. We ask that you'd work through our pastor this morning in a very special way. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Listen very carefully today. I think I can help you. You may or may not be in the condition, so to speak, today that I will speak of. But if you're not, hang on, you will be. This is one of those sermons, either you need it today or you're going to need it tomorrow. But one day you're going to need it. And I want you to listen. All of life flows in cycles. There's an ebb and a flow to every tide. There's an ebb and a flow to life. Did you ever notice things kind of come in waves? Now, they didn't tell me it was going to be tsunamis. You know, this is why the climate change people are so ridiculous. Weather doesn't stay the same. That's why it's called climate. It's not called consistency. In the 1970s, matter of fact, they were talking about an impending ice age coming. Now, we're worried about the polar bears not having enough ice. And the polar caps are melting. That's called the ebb and the flow of life. You have some seasons are good for growing crops. Amen, Brother Joe? And there are other seasons that wasn't so good. Last year, pretty rough. This year, pretty good. Say, what is that? That's the cycles of life as they come. Every part of life will have some ebb and some flow to it. In sports, there is no one who is always on top of everything and doing 100% all the time. Do you realize that the best hitters in baseball are out 70% of the time? The best hitters in baseball end up with a 300 batting average. That means 7 out of 10 times they get out. That means the best ones are only on base 3 out of 10 times. Most hitters in baseball go through what they call a downtime or a slump. They end up not hitting the ball very well for a while. They'll be 1 for 30 or 2 for 40. They're just going through a bad spell. And they're normally much better than that, but they just hit a period where they're not seeing the ball right. They're not making contact like they normally would. I've spent my whole life working with people. It's hard to believe I'm in my 39th year of preaching. People go through these slumps spiritually. They go through these slumps emotionally. We go through slumps physically. I'm in one today. Matter of fact, I think the hole closed on top of me and they just buried me. But we go through slumps in every area of life. May I say this? None of us are above them. None of us. Now, we'll say this. Some of you live in a slump, okay? You don't have to live in a slump. I didn't say slum. I said slump, all right? By the way, I deal with preachers who go into a slump for a while. They say how we handle these slumps in life determines much of how we get through them and how successful we are while we are there. Let me say this. I'm not old. I'm 52 years old. That's older than some of you, but it's still not as old as many. Right, Brother Fred? I'm only half as old as Fred. And he can't count that fast, so it doesn't matter. But I've watched pro athletes get into a slump and retire because they went through a bad spell. They shouldn't have retired when they did. But because they were going through a bad spell and they just didn't seem like they could get out of it, they decided it was better to quit than to keep on going. And may I say, that's not a good answer. The worst time to end your career is when you're going through a slump. I was always told, if you're going to leave somewhere, leave on top. Don't leave on the bottom. I've been an assistant pastor in, good night, 1, 2, 3, 4 different churches. 5 different churches, I guess. Did you know that when I left all 5 churches, I left on top side, not on bottom side? I left all my duties in the best condition, not the worst condition. I left when I was on top, not on the bottom. Say why? Because I wanted to go out on the top side, not on the bottom side of things. I see Christians who go into a slump and then they end up giving up on God. They give up on church. They give up on the Christian life. They may not go out and live wildly, but they give up and this is the statement that I want you to get. They do what they want to do. Instead of doing what God wants them to do. Now, may I say this? Nobody enjoys being in a slump. It's a very frustrating time. We have slumps physically. It seems like in the last few months, if it doesn't hurt, it doesn't work in my life, let me tell you. I mean, I've been through shingles, and I've been through the head colds, and I've been through this and been through that. And it seems like it's been one thing after another. My wife says, are you sure everything's okay? Yeah, everything's all right. Just one of those times where you got to get through it. It seems like you go from one doctor appointment to another. You know, you're getting old when you look forward to going to the doctor because it's the only time you get out. Now, it seems like you get one thing fixed and another thing breaks down. It's that way around your house. You all know what I'm talking about? You get one thing fixed and think everything's going to be fine, and then another thing breaks. And you get that one worked on, and then there's something else. Or she wants it painted a different color. Or she wants one thing or another is always broke down. That's the way life is. It's that way at work. Seems like you get things going in a certain direction, and then this falls apart. Then you got to work over here for a while, and then that falls apart. And you're kind of going back and forth all around things. Can I tell you something? It's been that way since the beginning of time when man sinned. I want to show you something. God uses the psalmist David here to give us insight to God's heart. I want you to look at me at Psalm 55 again. I want to read some verses with you. Notice where this is at. Give ear to my prayer, O God. Hide not thyself from my supplication. Watch this. Attend unto me, hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make noise. Does that sound like they're in a good spot? When you're mourning, that's not M-O-R-N, like early in the morning, but when you're mourning, it means like someone has died. Look at verse 3. Because of the voice of mine enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they have cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. In other words, it's not going so well. You got people shooting at you. Verse number 4. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Sounds like he's having a real good day, doesn't it? Look at verse number 5. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and the horror hath overwhelmed me. Look at me for a second. Have you ever been to the point where you felt like you were overwhelmed? That's exactly where God says this person was. Say, what was the answer? Look at verse number 6. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. God, if I had wings, I'd fly out of this nest and never come back. Y'all know what it's... Yeah. Look at verse number 7. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Amen, Brother Jimbo? Just give me my gun and I'm going to the woods and I ain't coming back. It's not that you necessarily want to quit life, but you just want to leave for a while and find some comfort and some rest and some peace. God used Psalm 55 to show us what we are to do. You see, you're not the only one going through a slump. You're not the only one having a downtime. Jeremiah hit one of these points in his life, the prophet of God. And he wanted to give up. Moses, several times, hit the wall. Good night. Can you imagine leading 3.5 to 5 million Jews in the wilderness and don't even have a PA system? There wasn't even a Wise Market for them to go grocery shopping at. Yet God provided everything they needed. Elijah, good night, killed 850 false prophets. He told off the king, told off the queen, ran 70 miles and sat up under a tree, a juniper tree, and wanted to give up. Had some of the greatest victory of the Old Testament, and there he sits wanting to give up. You see, it doesn't matter who you are, you're going to have those times where you just want to kind of throw in the towel. Let me ask you a question. Are you in a slump today? If you're not, hang on, you're about to be. It's coming. I want to show you how to make it through the slumps of life and not give up. May I say this? Everybody has times in life where you feel like you're just going through the motions. When you feel like, preacher, I just feel like I'm going through the motions. My marriage, I don't feel like I used to feel, but I just feel like I'm going through the motions. That's called being in a slump. Did you know you're not supposed to do things just because you feel like doing it? Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
There's a lot of times I do things I don't feel like doing. Do you think I enjoy the calls? Preacher, somebody's dying. Will you go see them? Why do I want to go see people die? You think I enjoy watching people die? No, but I enjoy helping people.
Amen.
I enjoy seeing people get saved.
Yes, sir.
I enjoy bringing God and the Word of God to them to try to bring comfort to them.
Amen.
Don't stop the phone calls.
Come on.
Preacher, I'm sick and in the hospital. You think I like hospitals? I hate those places. Good night. There's sick people there. It's a wonder I'm not sick all the time as much as I spend in the hospital. You know, there's nothing quite like the smell of a hospital. You all know what I'm talking about? That antiseptic smell. That cover up the sickness smell. Or you go into a cancer ward and you can literally smell the rot. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Any of you been in the medical field know what I'm talking about. You see, Just because it's not as exciting as it used to be doesn't mean you need to change what you're doing. Everybody doing okay? Now, when things aren't as exciting as they used to be, that little baby that you once had, that you're ready to pinch its little head off and spit down the hole now, it was exciting once, but it's not exciting now. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Usually it's about the time they hit 13, 14, 15 years old. Thereabouts. Yeah. You say, what is it? It's a slump. My job just doesn't excite me like it used to excite me. Well, you didn't get a job because it was exciting. You got a job to pay the bills. You got a job to pay the money. Who said it had to be exciting? Everybody doing okay? Well, going to church just doesn't excite me like it used to. Reading my Bible doesn't excite me just like I used to. Because the exciter's not excited doesn't mean that God changed. You are about to become a good Christian when you get through those slumps. Most people give up because they hit the slump. When things are going at a pace and you don't feel it anymore, if you can get through that, you're about to grow up and be a good Christian. You're about to grow up and be an adult. You're about to become a more productive worker at work. You're about to become a success. Let me show you four or five things here today to help you get through the slump. Number one, listen to me very carefully here. Say, what's the first thing you need to do in order to get through a slump? Number one, don't change anything.
That's good.
The worst thing to do is change when you're in a slump.
That's right.
I'm weird. I'm one of those people that likes watching golf. Okay, I like golf. Golf is a long walk ending in total frustration. Unless you beat your son at it twice. But anyway, I enjoy golf. Now, I don't do it well. That's why I pay to golf and I don't get paid to golf. But I do know something about it. There's a young man in golf right now. Honestly, he's a sharp young man. I'm pulling for him. A guy named Jordan Spieth. Jordan's won quite a few tournaments and things, but his first year or two in the PGA, he was just a phenom. He was tearing it up. Won the Masters, won a bunch of different things. But he had a couple good years of success, and then he started trying to tweak things. He hadn't won in about 2 years now. Say why? Because he keeps changing what he did. The worst thing to do when you kind of hit a dry spell is to start changing your swing. You don't need to change it. You just need to get back to what made you successful. The motive for what you do is not the fun or the enjoyment. The motive for what you do, sometimes God allows us to go through a slump to make sure that we're doing it because we love him, not because we feel like doing it. I'll be honest with you, at 4:30 this morning, I didn't feel like getting out of bed. Matter of fact, I didn't care if I crawled out of bed, got the gun and pulled the trigger, got it over with, get rid of this stupid cold. Man, I wasn't feeling it. I didn't feel like doing certain things this week, but guess what? You do what you do because you're supposed to do it. Everybody doing all right? Well, I just, my nose was runny, preacher, so I didn't come to church. Well, if I had called in this morning and said, well, I just don't feel like it, guess what? Doesn't matter. Church still needs to happen. You see, sometimes God wants us to push through things just to make sure we're doing it because we're supposed to do it. You don't need change. You need to stay within your schedule. Do you know the best thing to do when things are going wrong? Stay in your schedule. Get up at the same time, go to bed at the same time, do the same things, eat on schedule. Too many people change their schedule way too much. They fiddle with their schedule. Let your schedule be your guide. Let your schedule get you through those tougher times. The worst thing to do is, and I'm going to help some of you. death takes place in the family, the worst thing to do is take 3 weeks off. I'm sorry. You take a little bit of time off, you get through the necessities of the death, but what do? You get back into your schedule right away. You get back into the schedule. You say, well, I just feel like crying all the time. If you're busy in your schedule, put in your schedule when it's time to cry. Past that, don't think about it. Did you know you're supposed to schedule when you hurt and cry in mourning? I love my grandmother. She died, good night, coming up on 2 years now. End of October. She was 99 and a half years old. I talked to her every Saturday for over a quarter century. I called her the Friday before she died. 1 week before she died. I called her. I was stuck in Salt Lake City airport. I preached her funeral. I planned her funeral for 15 years. She and I sat down and planned it, I don't know how many times. The last several times she took that old crooked finger of hers. She said, don't you miss church to do my funeral. You just put me in a box, it'll be okay. I said, don't worry, Grandma, I'm in charge of it. It'll be all right. I won't miss church. I don't want you missing church to... I said, don't worry, we'll schedule around it. And we had her funeral on a Friday. Say why? Because that's when it was supposed to be. I obeyed her as much as I could. Now, wait a minute. Did I hurt? Yes. Did I fall apart? Preacher, I don't know how you can do some of those funerals for people that you know. I've done funerals for three of my grandparents and one of my wife's grandparents, and I've done them for family members, and I've loved every one of these people. I remember doing Wally's mama's funeral. I baptized her. Now, wait a minute. People that are very near and dear to my heart. How do you not fall apart? Because of schedule when I'm going to fall apart. One of these days I'll have to preach my parents' funerals unless the Lord comes back. I plan on falling apart for a little while, but not while I'm doing the sermon. I'll fall apart before, I'll fall apart afterwards. But guess what? As much as I love them, as much as I love my grandmother, guess what? The sun's coming up tomorrow. I can't let the whole world stop. Everybody doing okay? You say, well, that sounds cruel. That sounds cold. No, that sounds like how to get out of a slump. You don't need to change a job because you're not excited about your job. You don't need to change spouses just because you don't have the tingle anymore. Everybody doing all right? You don't need to change churches just because it doesn't excite you like it used to anymore. You don't need to change Bibles because it doesn't excite you like the old one did. You don't need pictures. You don't need to change anything when you're in the middle of a slump. The worst thing to do, by the way, sameness is sameness. Did you ever notice in the Old Testament, God showed Moses the tabernacle that was in heaven, and he was supposed to build the furniture and the tabernacle to match the one that was in heaven. Bible says the pattern that God showed him in the mount of the true tabernacle, which was in heaven, in the book of Hebrews. You say, why? Because when God left heaven once a year, and the Shekinah glory of God would go into the Holy of Holies, where the furniture for the tabernacle was, God wanted it to look the same here as it did in heaven. God wanted it to be just like it was in heaven. Everybody doing okay? God knew that that sameness was the security that he needed and that we need in this life. Can I tell you something? Make sure you maintain what you have and keep it in good repair. You don't need to change it. Look at verse number 6 and verse number 7. And I said, oh, that I would have wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Man, I'd get out of Dodge as quick as I could if I was allowed to. God said, don't do that. Too many people want to run and hide. Too many people want to give up. Too many people want to change what they're doing instead of staying with what they're supposed to stay with. In the building of this building on this property, you don't know how many times I've thrown my hands up in the air and said, God, take it, I'm done. On 4 acres of ground, do you know that this little patch of grass out here on the other side of the dirt is the only place on 4 acres that they haven't disturbed on 4 acres? I'm about ready to pull my hair out. I'm going to look like Brother Randy. That's enough to make you want to go into a slump real fast. Or is that a bump? Now, wait a minute. No comments. Don't go there, right? Yeah, your wife's doing her best to hold her lips on that one. Can I tell you something? There are many a times I wanted to give up. It seemed like I was pushing a steamroller uphill in the mud. Aren't you glad I didn't give up? I'm glad. Man, I've been fighting with the county for 3 weeks over what stupid plants to put in these stupid bio-retaining ponds. They want wetland marsh plants in sandy soil. The dirt in these little bio ponds is 60% sand. You don't put water marshy plants in 60% sand. You put cactus there. They want wetland plants in something that won't hold water. I finally won. You say, why? Because I'm not wasting God's money. Everybody doing all right? So don't change anything. Number two, are you ready? This is maybe one of the most important statements you'll hear me make. Don't make any major decisions in a slump.
You're right. Amen.
My preacher used to say it this way. Don't make a decision when your decision maker's broken. Amen. When you're in a slump, your decision maker's not working like it used to. Too many people, when they're in a slump, say, well, it's not going real well. I just don't enjoy my job like I should. Maybe I should get another job. Uh-oh. You're about to make a mistake. My wife and I, we've been together long enough to where it just doesn't seem like as exciting as it used to. Not time to make a decision. Not time to make a decision. Why is it that we seem to make the biggest decisions of our life when we have a broken decision maker? Young people, listen to me. I don't understand why God has you make the biggest decisions of your life when you don't have enough brains to blow up your nose. You make life's biggest decisions when you don't have enough sense to make those decisions. It doesn't mean that you're stupid. It means you haven't experienced enough life to know how to make good decisions. Part of that is you need to rely on somebody else's good decision-making ability and trust it. Amen. Don't make major decisions when you're in a slump. Well, I just lost my job. Think I'll go buy a new car. I just got fired. Think I'll go shopping. Where is the sense in that? It's called retail therapy, preacher. You will make bad decision when your decision maker is in a slump. I promise you. When your health is bad, you're not going to make good decisions. Everybody doing okay? Seek counsel. That's what Psalm 55 verse 14 said. We took sweet counsel together and we walked to the house of God in company. In other words, when he was in a slump, he took sweet counsel with somebody that had the ability to give him the right answer, whether he liked it or not. He did it, and they walked together to the house of God because of that. Listen to this illustration. One day, I had a pastor friend who was about to resign his church because he was in a battle. I begged him not to. I said, "Don't do that." He said, "I just don't know that I have it in me to fight." I said, "Stay and fight. You can win this battle. Don't resign." He was in a slump. He did not listen to me. He resigned. I begged him not to. He did it anyway. And the church splintered and splashed and it blew up like somebody hit it with a C4 bomb. People hurt, people left forsaken, people all over the place just bloodied and broken and beat up. Say why? Because one pastor made a decision in a slump when his decision maker was broken. I could give you a list of churches and pastors that have done the same thing. You don't make decisions well when you are in a slump. If you just found out you have cancer, it's not time to make a major decision. If you just found out you have something major wrong with you, it's not time to make major decisions. You let somebody help you get through those decisions. Everybody doing okay? When you're in a slump, you're not normal. Your success level isn't what it used to be. That guy that's hitting 300 in baseball, but he's gone 1 for 40, shouldn't be giving batting advice right then. Y'all know what I'm talking about? In other words, don't deceive yourself into thinking that you're in better shape than you're really in. Just because normally you make good decisions doesn't mean you're going to make good decisions now. About a year ago, we were still, this building was roughed in. Matter of fact, we just got sheetrock in here. So it must have been about a year or so ago. I had to make a decision, but I was too close to a touchy situation. I called Brother Fugit. I can tell you where I was. I was standing right back in my office, no carpet, just blank sheetrock, no mud on the walls yet, when he called me. I explained the situation to him, and I said, "Brother Fugit, I'm too close to this, and I'm not sure I'd make the best decision. I'm asking you to help me make the decision, and I'll do exactly what you tell me to do." In about 60 seconds, he told me what to do, and he said, "Now, Brother Bush, you've told other people to do the very same thing, haven't you?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "What'd you call me for?" I said, "Because I'm too close to it to trust my own judgment." He said, "You're a wise man." I said, "I've been called a wise crack before, but not a wise man." Now, wait a minute. I said, "I just want to make sure that it's not me being too close to a situation. So I needed your help. I'll step back from it so I don't make a bad decision." I help people make decisions almost every day of my life. There are times I have to step back because there are times I'm too weak and too pressured to make a good decision for myself. Everybody see that? You see, when in a slump, don't make decisions. Don't change. Number three, don't quit anything. When you're in a slump, don't quit anything. I don't care what the psychologist tells you. I don't care what the psychotherapist tells you. I don't even care sometimes what the doctor tells you. "Oh, you're under too much stress. You need to quit all your things at church on the weekends." Well, bless God, I'll quit paying my doctor bill before I quit going to church. Amen. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Don't quit your job. Amen. Don't quit your marriage. Don't quit reading your Bible. Don't quit praying. Don't quit telling other people about Jesus Christ. Don't quit going to all the services. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Hey, don't quit your friends. Just because you're in a slump, don't quit things. An athlete doesn't quit batting because he's in a slump. Did you know in baseball you don't have a choice? If you're going to play, you're going to bat. Did you know if you're playing football and you're having troubles tackling, when you're out on the field, you don't look at your opponent and say, "Now, you be nice to me. I'm having a tough time today." If you'd please be easy on me because I'm having a tough time. Would you just excuse me? I'm going to lay on the floor and cry and suck my thumb. Say, no, what do? You get in there and hit somebody extra hard. Say, why is that? Because you don't quit. You're not supposed to quit. Cut the word quit out of your vocabulary. Bless God, I'll promise you one thing. That boy wasn't reared with the word quit in his vocabulary. Every time, "Well, Dad, I want to quit." "No, you're going to work harder." "I can't do it." There's no such thing as can't. You might be temporarily delayed, but we're going to get it. I don't like the word can't. I don't like the word quit. I just decided I'm not going to use those words in my vocabulary when it comes to things I have to do. Can I tell you something? The worst thing to do when you're in a slump is quit. That's right. Some of you have passed up good jobs. You've quit good jobs because you were in a slump at your old job. Anybody doing okay? Ouch. Number four, I got to hurry. Don't go after anything new when you're in a slump. Oh, my soul. Don't change, don't make decisions, don't quit, and don't go after anything new. Can I tell you something? You don't need something new. You need to go back to the basics. How about you learn to be satisfied with what you have? "Well, I'm just not satisfied. I've had a trouble with this and trouble with that, so I'm going to get rid of it, and I'm going to go get a new one." Did you know the moment you buy it, it's not new anymore? And it's going to start breaking down too. I'm not saying if you just bought a new car that you're sinful or anything like that, Mrs. Barnes. Yeah, broke down the same time. Now, wait a minute. There are times that it's okay, but she didn't make that at a time where things were broken. Everybody doing okay? You don't make a rash decision just because you want something new. Be satisfied with the old ways. Everybody listen to this very carefully. I'm going to talk about church for a second. That's why this church isn't going a contemporary way. I'm not going after the newfangled junk. I happen to believe in an old black book, and it's good enough to get us where we're going. Amen. We don't need to bring the worldly music to the church. How about in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? Singing with grace in your heart as to the Lord. Hey, we don't need the devil's beat with God's words. Amen. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Hang on. We're about to get a little tougher. We don't need follow the bouncing ball in the movie screens to satisfy everybody's high-techy video mentality. "Oh, I got to see it on the screen." God help us. You could live without a computer, I promise you. One of the things that cracks me up every day of my life, people walk into my office, "Where's your computer?" "I don't have one." You say, "Where's your computer?" "Right there. My secretary has one. That's enough. That's all I need." Now, can I tell you something? Too many people live in a high-tech range at church. We don't need high-tech. We need God. Everybody look at me. You see, this is where churches change. "Well, we're having troubles reaching people, so we're going to try something new." Wrong answer. well, soul winning doesn't work, so we're going to try doing this. Wrong answer. You don't go soul winning to build your church. You go soul winning to be obedient to God.
Yes, sir.
Let me say that again. You don't tell people about Jesus to build your church. You tell people about Jesus because they're going to die and go to hell if they don't get saved. That's our responsibility. Now watch this. You're not supposed to take a census and ask them 20 questions. And bring those 20 questions back. And I sit at my desk and say, okay, well, this person answered number 3 and number 7 and number 13 this way. So they're the ones most likely to get saved. So we'll send Brother Josh and somebody else out there. And that's how we'll do our soul winning. That's called somebody playing God. That's wicked as the stinking devil. Bless God. I make a pretty bad God, just so you know.
Amen.
And so do you.
Double amen.
Brother Joe, you look like Buddha. You got that belly going there. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? What right do I have to say, well, that's not working, so we should try something new? How can you improve on what God said to do? God said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He said, from house to house. He didn't say from website to website. He didn't say from Twitter to Facebook. Everybody doing okay? You can't follow me on Facebook. I ain't there. We need more people with their face in the book than on Facebook. I had some twitty college student one day said, Pastor, I can't find your church on Facebook. I said, you're not going to. He said, well, you can't build a church without Facebook. I said, shh, don't tell my people that. Yeah. Well, how are people going to find it? I said, knocking on doors. By the way, it's the same rascal that called me not long ago and wants me to support his lazy backside to start a church in another state. I almost said which state it was. Didn't do it. Say, are you going to support him? No. Go work a job and knock on doors. Everybody else ought not pay your salary so you can sit there on your blessed assurance doing nothing. Well, missionaries raise support. Yeah, because they're not allowed to use the people of those countries to pay their own personal bills. That's why they have to raise support. Everybody doing okay? So, don't go after new things. Buying new things only covers the slump and starts another one. I'm going to go shopping. Okay, you just start another slump financially. You might cover one area with what you just did, but you've started a slump in another area of life. And then you got to run from emergency to emergency to emergency, covering up all the slumps. Everybody doing okay? I've given you 4 things what not to do. Number 5, what do you do to get out of the slump? Real simple. Go back to the basics. Go back to the basics. You may or may not know this. In baseball, if you go back behind, you know, the dugouts or concrete there at the base of the field, you go back what they call the tunnel. They have batting cages down underneath the stadiums. Do you know every one of those batting cages is set up with a tee on it? Professional athletes hit a baseball off of a tee. Why in the world would they do what 5-year-old boys do in Pee Wee League? To get back to the basics. See, hitting is in a zone. When you swing a bat, you're to swing it the same way every time. And the object is to get the bat in the right zone so that you have your highest percentage of opportunity to hit that ball. So they go back and they're not seeing the ball well, so they'll hit 75 or 100 balls off that that zone, they're training their eye and their hand and the bat to be in a certain position so that when they come through, they're watching that for that zone, and they're only to swing at pitches in that zone. Can I tell you something? They go all the way back to little peewee league to get their hitting straightened out. Say, what is it? Getting back to the basics. Same thing in fielding. If a guy's getting a little jittery and making bad throws from third base, he'll stand there, and they teach you ground ball after ground ball after ground ball. Get down, put the glove on the ground. Make sure you do this. When you reach in the glove, make sure you're feeling two seams. If you can feel two seams with the ball, you can get the ball where you're going to throw it. Make sure you're feeling two seams. You don't have to look. You just have to feel for two seams. And you don't just reach in and throw that thing. That's why it's everywhere. You got to go straight back to the basics. Can I tell you how to get out of a rut financially, a slump financially? Go back to the basics. Say, what are the basics? You can't have more outcome than income. You got to have your income be equal or greater than your outgo. If not, either decrease the outgo or increase the income. Amen. It's easier to decrease the outgo than it is to increase the income. So what do? You tighten your belt. You quit spending on everything. Some of you, if you looked what your fast food bill was, it would shock you. Some of you, if you looked how much extra you spend at Sheetz, it would shock you. Some of you spend enough on the extras that you don't even know that you're spending on to take care of the slump. We call it stress eating. I'm stressed, so I'm going to eat. Well, then you just started a slump somewhere else. Right here. Right around the waist. It's slumping heavy. When you're stressed, you don't need more food. Everybody doing okay? Man, I just started preaching. I went to meddling real fast. Well, I need comfort. So I'm going to eat this food, folks. Say, what's comfort food, preacher? Anything you can poke down the pie hole is comfort food. I don't crave food. My wife could fix the same meal every day, 365 days a year. I wouldn't say a thing. Say, why? Because, honestly, I don't have a great desire for all the different kinds of things. I could eat the same meal every day and never say a thing. You say, why? Because to me, I don't find the comfort in the eating. I find the comfort in being with my wife or my family or those with whom I'm eating with. Yeah, fill up the pie hole a little bit, put the calories in. Here we go. Let's go wear them off. You see, some of us, I'm going to say this, some of you need to get back to the basics as a Christian. Some of you have reached a pious level in your life where you think some things are below you. My dad was standing out here today. He watched this take place. Crossed my heart, never planned it. One of our bus kids, little boy, walked up to me and said, "Preacher, could you tie my shoe?" I said, "I sure will, buddy." I said, "What'd you do, preacher?" Got down on my hands and my knees. I said, "Hey, hold that thing up. That shoe's a little farther away than I can reach." He's standing there like this. And I tied his shoe. He'll never know how much that did for his preacher. Say, why? Because he knew he could ask his preacher to tie his shoe. Man, I felt like a king. I was just glad he had shoelaces and not Velcro, amen? No. Wait a minute. For some of you, I wonder if you'd have said, "Well, tie your own shoe." Oh, no. No, I got to serve one of our bus kids. Brother Josh and I went down to Chantilly to get that bus this week. We looked at it on Wednesday and went down on Friday with the money to pay for it. We got in the car Wednesday after we looked at it. He said, "Dad, wow." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Imagine how many boys and girls, teenagers' lives are going to get changed because of that bus right there. Wonder how many people are going to not die and go to hell because of that bus right there. Wonder how many young people's lives will get changed on a youth conference trip or something because of that old bus right there. That's more to me than just a vehicle to put in the parking lot, just so you know. That's a tool to have people's lives changed. I've already prayed on that bus and over that bus, asking God to use it. Say why? Because I'd like to see people's lives changed. See, you got to go back to what got you successful to stay successful. Can I tell you why some of your marriages are a little cold? How's the dating life going? Do you go on dates anymore? Well, you wind her and dined her to get her. What are you doing to keep her? Some of you put your best foot forward just to get her, and you say, "Well, then, got that done. Here we go." Can I tell you something? You keep the spark by how you got the spark. Anybody doing okay? There was a time they couldn't keep you apart. Now, I got to work to keep you together. You see, the same is true at church. There was a time when you first got saved, man, you were excited to come to church. Now I got to go to church. Preacher might call me. Preacher going to find out what I was doing. Well, preacher just cares about you. I don't care what you're doing. I just want to make sure you're doing okay.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You see, you keep getting people saved the same way God told us to do. You don't find new cute little methods to do it. That's why soul winning is important for everybody. By the way, you say, "Well, I'm not seeing any results." Did you know that it's not your job to see the results? It's just your job to obey. I could fix some of y'all's financial problems. It's called a budget. Put yourself on a budget. "Oh, I don't like a budget." Yeah. You know why? Because you want to waste things. You want to control everything that you want. You're letting your flesh control it. And now you wonder why you can't. You have more month than you have than you have paycheck. You need a budget. That will keep you from a financial slump, or at least from falling into one as deeply as most of you are in. Boy, that's good stuff, preacher. Amen.
Amen.
Some of you need to plan ahead for your health. Some of you need to... Let me rephrase that. Some of us need to lose a few pounds so that we can maintain our health as long as we can. Some of us need to work on the cardio a little bit. So that when we bend over and tie your shoes, you're not going... If you're out of breath tying your shoes, guess what? You poked the pie hole a little too much. Mm-hmm. Well, I solved that. I wear cowboy boots. I don't have to tie them. I know your excuses, fellas. Come on. That one just went slop. You know, some of us need to get ourselves, and I'm not saying that you're going to be Charles Atlas. Matter of fact, none of you are. The next Schwarzenegger or whatever. All right? You're not going to be a bodybuilder. Most of you are just a lump of clay. You say, "Well, round is a shape, not the shape you're supposed to be in." Now, I'm not saying that you're going to go jog in a marathon next week. I'm not. I never saw a happy jogger. Not doing it. But I do believe that you should keep yourself in as good of shape health-wise as you can. Now, if that means you want to eat vegetarian diet and no meat, God bless you, but I'm eating meat. God said, rise, kill, and eat. Okay, he wasn't talking about green beans. You don't kill green beans, amen? You kill the things that eat the green beans. I don't believe in medicine. I believe in all the herbal. Well, you can eat all the tree bark and drink swamp water and your green goo all you want. I'm not going to be mad at you, but you can do whichever you please. Don't criticize others who do. But may I say this, I think we ought to get ourselves in as good a shape as we can. Fellas, that means every once in a while, about once every year or every 2 years, you ought to go to the doctor and get a checkup. All right? Just to make sure the old ticker's where it's supposed to be, doing what it's supposed to be. Amen, Brother Harry? I think it's important that we keep up on those things. Everybody doing all right? Man, it's getting quiet in here. Say, what is that? It's going to keep you from getting into a slump as deeply as you would. Doesn't matter what area of life. Everybody, anybody in here, you ought to go to your boss and see what you could do more to be a better employee. Just say, hey, what could I do to be a better employee? Put yourself in subjection to your boss. Say, I'd like to do more. What can I do to be a better employee? You might find out you're not the success you thought you were. But work on it. Doesn't matter what area of life, you're going to go through a slump. So, what do? Well, number one, you don't change anything. Number two, you don't make major decisions. Number three, you don't quit. Number four, you don't go after new. And number five, get back to the basics. That's how you get through a slump. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Who would say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure, I know for sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, and maybe you're visiting with us, maybe you're not, maybe you've been here many times. You say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven when I die, but I'd like to know that someday. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon, something I needed for me today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, dozens and dozens and dozens of hands, virtually every hand, you may put them down. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the piano begins to play. When the piano begins to play, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, would you come? We'll have somebody take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. If you've been saved and never baptized, we could care for that today. Maybe the Lord tugged at your heart today about something in that sermon. Maybe just need a needle at an old-fashioned altar and get some things in your own life right.